This morning's responsive reading came from Proverbs chapter 22, verses 1 to 16. So, if you'd like to join with us and follow along as you follow me in this little exposition of what we just got done reading, get your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 22. I'd like to focus my attention, if I can, with the time given, to verse 1. The value of a good name. It says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Now, if you've been following along with me for these many years, sometimes we will come up, or I will bring up, Hebrew parallelism. And that's what we find here, a good example. You have a good name, the first part of verse 1, is bumped up against loving favor. And great riches is defined in the second part as silver and gold. Having a good name. It is possible to have all the wealth in the world, but if people drop your name in a conversation or in a crowd of people, you might hear a crescendo of hiss, hiss, boo, boo, and jeers. You may be rich, you may have the world by the tail, but if your name, which is associated with you and your reputation and your lifestyle, if you happen to be a very evil, self-centered monster who treats people like stepping stones, all the wealth in the world will never be able to buy you a friend. So possessing a good name, to be in loving favor with others, is of more value than all the silver and gold and bitcoins and investments anyone can accumulate. Now, I used verse 1 years ago in a sermon to explain to the world why we as a church have chosen our name, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church. Maybe some of you can still remember that. We are Trinitarian, meaning we believe in one God, one eternal essence and substance, one being, and yet we believe in three divine persons within that one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So I chose the word Trinity to automatically, up front, in everyone's face, delineate that we are not followers of Judaism, we are not followers of Islam, we are followers of biblical Christianity. We worship and believe in one God, but he is revealed in three persons, quite predominantly in both testaments, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are also Reformed, and by that name we hold to a confessional church. We believe in delineating what we believe on key points. What do we believe on Scripture? What do we believe on the person of God himself? What's our teaching of the Holy Spirit? What is our belief on the Lord Jesus Christ? What do we believe about the fall of man and its consequences upon mankind? What do we believe about salvation? Are we saved by grace? Are we saved by works? Or is it a combination of grace and works? What do we believe about marriage? What do we believe about the church? What do we believe about our relationship to civil government? So in that sense, we are Reformed in that we have a confession. Now, the confession doesn't replace the Bible. However, our confession ought to be able to point to the Bible on where we plant our flag theologically on points from Genesis to Revelation. We're also Reformed in the fact that we believe in the doctrines of grace, better known as Calvinism. We make no apology for our belief on the five points of Calvinism, properly delineated properly expounded, properly applied. We are Baptist. We do not believe in baptizing infants. It's not found. It's not even demonstrated in Old or New Testament. We believe that a person is to be baptized after their salvation experience, after their conversion, as a public profession of faith to those present at the time. We believe that baptism is by immersion, not by pouring, not by sprinkling, not by spitting. We believe in a full dunk, my dear friends. Trinity Reformed Baptist Church. We are not a good news club. We're not a coffee shack. We're not a coffee and donut stand. We are a church, an ecclesia. We hold to the belief that a church is a gathering of people who have been called out of something, like their respective homes, and then they move from location A, and we congregate, we reassemble, if you will, at another designated location. It could be a cave. It could be under a tree. It could be in someone's home, or it could be in a building which the church owns. Beloved, where we meet is not the issue. We could be meeting in a catacomb here this morning. We could be meeting on top of a hill, or on a mountain, or in a valley. But a church is a gathering of called out people. Effectual calling. Called out of darkness, placed into light. And so, beloved, I offer you here this morning, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. The value of a good name. Okay? Now, when it comes to you as an individual, we all have a name. We have a first name. We have a last name. Some of you may be blessed with a middle name. Then there are those who put a little title, like Senior, Junior, Esquire, or so-and-so the first, so-and-so the second. Do you realize that at one time, the honor of a family was valued and prized? We see some of these old movies, dramatized movies of life in jolly old England or in good old Europe itself. And when one member fell out of grace with society, maybe they committed a crime, caught stealing, whatever, caught fighting, caught with another woman. What did you normally see in that movie? How the remaining family was very upset with this offended member of their family because of the dishonor to the family what? Name. There was a time when a family's honor, how a family viewed themselves and how they were to be viewed by others in their community, hinged on the good reputation of that name. Are we not called Christians? Meaning to be Christ-like, to be like Him? So, when those who profess to be Christians live in such a way, getting their hands caught in that proverbial cookie jar, what happens to the name of Christ and to the name Christian? It becomes blighted and blotched. It becomes stained by virtue of the public or the private, which soon becomes public, disgrace of one's behavior. What we bring back upon the name of Christ. We can live in such a way as professing Christians. A church can live in such a way and violate doctrine, go crazy on its so-called sanctification, their practical living, and they can go off the rails when it comes to who they associate and so-called fellowship with, whereby that name no longer carries the honor and the reputation. Today, many mainline Protestant denominations, like the Methodists, Southern Baptists, Free Will Baptists, etc., some of these long-standing denominational names today carry no more weight because of the liberalism and the apostasy that is now found within these once reputable Protestant denominations that actually stood for something at one time. They actually stood for truth. They actually stood upon the scriptures as the word of God. They actually sent out missionaries to the four corners of the world. Today, all they are is nothing more but a social action center, or to rouse up the community with signs and placards and burning cities and toppling statues. They've lost their way. They no longer have a name worthy. What did Jesus tell, as I close, what did Jesus tell one of the seven churches? You got a name, but you're dead. That's the church of Sardis. They had a name, probably put on the front door of their meeting house, but he told them, you're dead. Matter of fact, he peered so close on the inside of that church, he told them, you only got a few holdouts in your congregation who still hold, who hold dear to me. They haven't tarnished their garments with the filth and the muck and the mire of the world. That was Jesus' assessment of the church at Sardis. I believe Revelation chapter 3. Having a good name. The value of having a good name. Well, may the Lord choose to bless his word.